Advent, week three of Advent. Advent simply means arrival. And the reason we celebrate Advent is that we are celebrating the arrival of Jesus, which is now only, well, he's already arrived, but we're celebrating it in 10 days' time. And I would encourage you to join us for our beautiful Christmas Day service on the 25th at 8:30. And so far, as we've sort of gone through the weeks of Advent, we started with hope. Last week we talked about peace. This week's all about joy. And next Sunday we're going to finish with love just before we celebrate on Christmas Day together. We've just been singing Joy to the World. Christmas is all about joy. You can't go anywhere in Australia or probably anywhere in the world and not see joy in a song, on a card, in some sort of decoration. It has been there since the very first Christmas and it will continue to be with us until the ultimate joy is fulfilled, us going to our Heavenly Father when Jesus returns. Amen. So we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. It's on the screen. Open your device or your Bible and let's read. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." So the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you fantastic news of great joy, which is for all people." In Matthew chapter 2, we read this. So we know that the Magi, the wise men, we don't quite know how many there were, but we think there's more than three. But anyway, there was three gifts. The Magi were following the message that Jesus gave them, and all of a sudden they see a star in the sky when Jesus was born, and it says this in Matthew 2, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Today, my prayer for all of us is that we discover afresh, or discover maybe for the first time, the fullness of joy that is found in the person and the presence of Jesus. "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be for all people." Good tidings of great joy for all people. That includes you, that includes me, that includes people that are not yet in this building. And as I said, the thing about joy is it's hard to hide. So I have a question for you. If you are not currently living in the fullness of that joy, if you don't wake up every morning and just go, it's great to be alive, or you've had seasons in the past where that wasn't the case, my question is, why did the angel say, "Do not be afraid, I give you great news of, or good tidings of great news for all people"? Maybe the angel got it wrong. Maybe the English translation from the original Hebrew or Greek is sort of a little bit, And maybe what the angel really meant is, I bring you good news of occasional bursts of contentment for some people, especially those who are experiencing seasons of bliss. That's not what he said. He said, "I bring you great news of joy that is for all people for all time." And here's what I know to be true. Because if you are not experiencing that, there's nothing bad about you, but maybe you've mistook what joy really means. Maybe you think it's happiness or gladness or contentment. Here's what I know to be true. The arrival of Jesus, if the arrival of Jesus brought great news for all people, then as followers of Jesus, people who know him and spend time with him, we should be, like Jesus was, the most joy-filled people on the planet. I didn't say we're walking around going, "Got to pay my mortgage, I'm so excited." No, that's not joy. That's just, that's temporary happiness, forced silliness. We should be the most joy-filled people on the planet all the time. "Oh, but Pastor Luke, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand the pain I feel. I've family members that have abandoned me, or financial stress, or you don't understand that this is a really hard season for me. Pastor Luke, if only you knew, you wouldn't have said that." God, if only you knew what I was going through, you would help me make this season a little bit easier because it's not easy at the moment. And there are a lot of people like that. And maybe I don't know what you're going through. I know a lot of what a lot of people are going through. I have a list every week that I read through and pray with, but I don't know everything. I don't. But God does. And God knows what you're going through, and He knows that you were going to be here this morning carrying whatever you're carrying. But His promises are yes and amen. And what He said way back then through the angel, which is, I bring you glad tidings of great joy for all people, applies to you and to me today. It doesn't mean that you dismiss what you're going through. It doesn't mean that the pain and whatever hurt or disappointment or anguish or frustration that you have isn't real. It just means that it doesn't have to define you because there is something greater. The joy the angel was talking about is not tethered to or affected by your circumstance, your emotions, your feelings, or anything. The arrival of Jesus brought, and this is the good news that the angel was talking about, the arrival of Jesus brought true, unshakable joy to the world. That's everybody. A joy rooted in His presence, His promises, and the anticipation of His return. It's on the screen because I want you to write it down or take a photo of it, because that will get you through a day or a moment this week when you realize that the joy that is in Jesus is not tethered to whatever you're going through, no matter how big or small. Happiness or sadness or disappointment or excitement, they are feelings and they are real, but they do not have to define you. Biblical joy is found in the person and the presence of Jesus. It's deeply rooted in something greater than an emotion, and it actually fills the void that we all have. The reason we go after happiness and after stuff, and the reason that stuff gets in us, is because there is a gap, a void, an ache in the human heart that can only be filled when we say yes to Jesus, and it is His joy that is in us. So what is biblical joy? Because if it's not just happiness and contentment, we need to know what it is so that we can understand how to get it, attain it, keep it, and then share it with others. Philippians 4:4-6 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. This is Paul writing a letter to the Philippians. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I could just unpack that for 20 minutes. I won't. But there is a symbiotic relationship with closeness to the Lord, being joy-filled, and then that being the way you treat others. Won't go into that today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians is known as the book of joy. Joy is mentioned over 16 times in the book, either the word joy or the word rejoice. And in fact, joy is a theme that is all throughout the Bible. I could give you 15, 20, 50 verses where joy or rejoice is mentioned all the way back from Deuteronomy right through. The theme of the Bible is good news to all people, which brings joy. The Greek word for joy is chara. And chara, if you look at the Greek translation, is used to describe one who rejoices, who is glad, or somebody who has received joy. Interesting. And it's very similar to the word charis, which is the word grace in Greek. And grace is also used for a gift. So one thing you need to know about joy is it's a gift that you receive. It's not something that you can conjure up based on how you're feeling in the day. And how many of us look for happiness and fulfillment in things that just don't satisfy. See, the thing with joy is a gift from God in the person and the presence of Jesus. And that's why joy is so linked to Christmas. It's not about feeling happy because you opened presents or you got a puppy or whatever. It's because there is something that is deep and meaningful and an anchor to the human soul which arrived in the form of Jesus and continues to be joy and continues to fill us with joy to this day. But we chase other things. We chase promotion and money and relationships and presence, and we look for joy in all the wrong places. And then we wonder why it doesn't satisfy. The Bible is clear in Matthew 6. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." The reason they say that is that it's a warning against chasing things that will never satisfy. Not only do they never satisfy, but you will not have them forever. Biblical joy is both a response to God's goodness and his free gift. And what's incredible about it is joy sustains us even in challenging seasons. As I said, feelings of hurt, regret, pain, loss, sorrow, anxiety, those things are real. But they don't have to define us. They don't have to be the rudder on the ship. They just can be a gauge on the dashboard. There's a big difference. And it's true that it's easier to be joyful when things are going great. When everything's hunky-dory, it's so much easier to smile. But can I tell you that when things aren't going great, our ability to let joy sustain us and direct us and be the thing that keeps us bobbing on the ocean as opposed to drowning is the thing that gives people around us the greatest insight into who is inside us and who is carrying us. Because when two people face the same problems, circumstances, loss, grief, whatever it might be, and one starts to drown and the other starts to fly, the question that people have is, what is it that is getting you through this? How is it that you maintain your ability to be on top of the situation and not let the situation be on top of you? Joy sustained Jesus in his hardest moment. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, he felt anxious, he felt the pain, he felt the fear. All of that was very real. But he said, "Not my will, your will." And then we read in Hebrews that the writer said that it was because of the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was joy that sustained him. It was joy that allowed him to go through the pain. You know, Mary, when she found out as a young girl that she was pregnant, in natural, normal circumstances, that could have and should have destroyed her. As a young, unwed woman in that society, to be pregnant without a husband, you would have been the scourge of society. You would have been dismissed, thrown out. It would have been the end of you. Circumstantially, she was in the worst place she'd ever been in her whole life. But on finding out that she's carrying the Son of God, this is what she does. She starts to sing. We read it in Luke 1. "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Circumstantially, all the generations should have called her a lot of other things. That wasn't that. But it was the joy that was inside her. She was already carrying joy and it was already coming out of her mouth in the form of a song. Can I encourage you that when life is tough, when you're going through a valley or a winter season or when you're facing something, you can still find joy. You can still let joy carry you through as long as you choose to spend time in the presence of the one that is your joy. His name is Jesus. You remember Paul and Silas? Everyone knows the Paul and Silas story. If you don't know the Paul and Silas story, they are naked, chained up, they'd been beaten, they were in the worst place of the worst prison of that time. It's about as bad as you can get without being dead. And they're singing hymns, praising the Lord. There's joy bubbling out of them that is much greater than the circumstance that they're in. And as a result, a whole lot of crazy things happen. I encourage you to go and read it. For yourself, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but people get saved, there's an earthquake, it's amazing. But what is amazing is in the most challenging and difficult and dire of circumstances, Paul not only writes the whole book of Philippians, but he's there praying and singing and worshipping and bubbling up joy when really he could have been thinking, "Oh my God, what have you done? You've left us here, we're naked, we're cold, life is over." No. Joy sustained him in his worst time. As I said, joy is not a feeling, not an emotion. It's not something we grab onto. Joy is a person, and his name is Jesus. John 15, chapter 9, 11 says this to 11. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The source of joy for people who follow Jesus is Jesus himself. He says that if you stay close to me, if you love me as I have loved you, and if you love others, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. We don't often think of Jesus being full of joy because he's often called the man of sorrows, and we think of him as the one who retreated to pray, and all that is real and true. But can I tell you, if everything we are reading and talking about today is even, you know, half right, Jesus was the most joyful man on the planet who has ever lived. He had to be. He had to be. Everywhere he went, he was sustained by joy. He loved people out of the joy that was in his heart. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus portrays himself as the shepherd. And when he finds the lost sheep, we read in Luke 15, he says he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls all his friends and neighbors and he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Not only was he a man of joy, but joy sustained him, and he often represented himself as joy. His life was an example to us. And not only that, but what he achieved through his birth, which we're about to celebrate, his death and his resurrection, gave us the ultimate reason for joy, because we now have relationship with the Heavenly Father and we have something to look forward to when he comes again and we are in heaven with him and all things are made right. That is something to look forward. That is something, that is a joy that should sustain us even in our most challenging seasons. And can I encourage you that if you're finding this season hard at the moment, and if you know Jesus, can I encourage you? Do the opposite of what maybe your first reaction is, which is to just spend more time doing stuff and filling your day. Spend less time doing things and buying stuff, and more time in the presence of Jesus. Make Christmas about Jesus this year, and watch what happens in you and the people around you as you start to get a fresh understanding of what the joy of Christmas really means. It's not happiness. It's not amazing meals. It's not all that's great. And trust me, we love great food. We're going to have a big banquet on Christmas Eve with a whole lot of friends. It's going to be awesome. But it'll be great for a night, and then we wake up next morning and we're like, oh, got to do the dishes. Like it's a fleeting thing. The joy of Christmas is that Jesus came, he died, he was resurrected, and through his love and death and resurrection, and through the joy that he carried that sustained him through all of that, that he now gives to us as a gift, we can get through every circumstance. We can get through life no matter how great or bad it is, and we carry something that is not only going to help us and the people around us, but will be attractive to people who look at our life and say, how is it that when world is going like this, you're just always like this? Psalm 30:11 says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. You know, this time 12 months ago, as a family, we were in the toughest season we had ever been in. Most of you know that my brother, his boy passed away almost 12 months to the day. And we were back and forth to Newcastle quite a bit in the month of December. And I think around December 10th, 9th or 10th, the last time we saw Jacob, we went to the hospice. Hospice is not a fun place. It's where people go to die. There was about 15 rooms in this hospice. And we spent some time with Jacob and we laughed with him and we prayed with him, and knowing that it would probably be the last time we saw him unless God did an incredible miracle. But as I walked out of his room, went to the reception area, there was this big board, and on the board there was the name of the people in each room, and then there was this big space where the people in the room could write a message to the world, to whoever wanted to read it. And as I looked down, I saw the messages, you know, tell Mum I love her, go the Blues, all this stuff, you know. There were some pretty ordinary messages of just people who were angry and hate-filled and just upset with their situation. And then I get to room 9 and I see Jacob Neal and I look, and this is what it said in that box. Jesus is greater than my circumstance. He's a 30-year-old kid, a week away from spending eternity with his Saviour. And his message to the world was, Jesus is greater than my circumstance. It was joy that sustained him in a season that could have made him bitter and twisted and angry with the world. To the very last breath, he was smiling and joy-filled, knowing that Jesus was greater than his circumstance. So whether you've known him for one day or whether you've known him for 50 years, my encouragement to you is let him and him alone be the source of your joy this Christmas. Have fun. Bless your kids. Do the things that Christmas is all about. But at the heart of it, at the root of it, remember that it's all about Jesus, and his joy sustains us, and that there's a joy that we're looking forward to which is greater than anything we can experience today. Finally, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. The reason we have to spend time with him, the reason we have to make Christmas about Jesus, and the reason that Jesus is the center of everything, especially for those who are a follower of Jesus, is that the Bible is really clear that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 says, "You show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy." Not just a little bit of joy, not just a joy for certain occasions, but fullness of joy, which means nothing else can fit in because you're full of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now we're going to open this. You'll see. I have a little experiment here that I want to... Some of you may have seen this. I know it's very... The thing with our life is that it starts empty, and over the years we start to fill it with things. And we can fill it with careers and friends and relationships and stuff and experiences and travel. None of those things are bad. We just start to put things in our life and they define us, they give us a level of identity. And then sometimes things come along that aren't as healthy or as great. We have maybe an accident and we break our leg, or we flunk out of school, or whatever it might be. People tell us we're never going to be anything. We lose a loved one. Our marriage may break down. Whatever it is, we just keep piling this stuff up. And not only do the things we carry not sustain us, but if we let them, the things we carry start to define us. And over the years, no matter what it is, we fill our life with things. And we get to a certain point in our life where we think that we've done everything we need to do to feel full and to feel content and to be fulfilled, and yet we still walk around and go, it's just not enough. I know this because as a professional in hospitality, I was earning crazy money. The people around me were earning crazy money. No matter how much money they earned, how much position they achieved, no matter how many travel trips they did, how many business class lounges they sat in, there still wasn't enough. They still wanted more. It does not satisfy. And the things that we carry, the things that are scars from past relationships, the things that maybe as a 15 or an 18-year-old happened to us and we let them stay in us, the challenge with that is that we're full, but we're not full of the right stuff. The Bible says in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And what does being in his presence mean? Being in his presence means you choose to spend time where you can hear from him. It might be reading your Bible. It might be deciding that church is going to become a little bit more central in your life. And as we start to spend time in his presence, something happens. We start to go, oh, feeling a little bit lighter. But don't stop there. Because if you stop there, yes, you'll have some Holy Spirit in you, but it's not the fullness of what God has for you. And as a result, the things that are still defining you, from the outside anyway, look like they're still defining you. You've got to get in his presence. You've got to continue to pray, to worship, to spend time with your family. Oh, look, things are starting to come out. Spend time with him. You know, when you read the word, an amazing thing happens. The promises of his words start to get in you. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, the doctor report, or I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling upset, or why did they do that, or why did they say that? The words of scripture start to get in us, and we start to read things like, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. We start to read things like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We start to read things like, sorry, that was really distracting all the. We start to read things like, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Or, I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to prosper. Or what else? Promises of his love and his presence and his continued support and we just keep filling ourselves. Don't stop. Don't get halfway and go, that's enough. Keep being in the presence of the Lord. Let him fill you, because it says that in his presence there is fullness of joy. And what happens when you are full? What happens is that the things that used to define you don't define you anymore, because his presence is enough. You are full of his presence, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength, not the things that used to define you. Yes, things sit there, and yes, occasionally stuff happens, and you know, but it doesn't define you. And if it tries to define you, what happens? You just keep filling your life with the presence of the Lord. Just keep filling your life with the presence of the Lord. Just keep seeking after him. Just keep making him a priority. And what's crazy is the enemy is a master of substitution. All the amazing things that God has created for us, whether it be prosperity, whether it be sex, whether it be relationships, whether it doesn't matter. The enemy is a master of masquerading as an angel of light and convincing us that 1 or 2 degrees off is okay. So we start to chase things that maybe even look good or feel right, but they're not the presence of Jesus. They're not the thing that gives us strength. They're not the things that, if something happens, oh, you know what? It might sit on the surface for a while, but it's not going to define us. It's not going to get in us. In the Bible, it says, take heart, because even though there's tough things in the world, I've overcome the world. The Bible says he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. All of those things get in us when we spend time in his presence. What's crazy is, if you didn't know that was full of water, it could be an empty jar. A lot of people walking around with empty jars. But the problem with empty jars is when stuff starts to happen, good or bad, or stuff they're chasing after, it gets in them. But if you're full of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that defines you, not the stuff around you, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to call the band up. I want to finish with this. The first great advent, which we're celebrating at the moment, Jesus is coming, is a reminder that God keeps his promises. The angel said, I give you great news. I bring you glad tidings of great joy that is for all people. And if you are somebody that is part of that all people, which you are, and you don't feel like you are full of joy, then we're going to take a moment in just a second to get in his presence. It's as simple as that. The Bible says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. But my encouragement to you is, how much of his presence do you proactively seek and hunger for when you're not in here? And how much of it do you take with you wherever you go? Because being in his presence for an hour on a Sunday is great, but it will not sustain you. Because stuff happens, and you've got to get back in his presence. Stuff happens, things happen. You've got to get back in his presence, and you've got to continue to get being filled. And that can't happen with just an hour a week or 2 hours a week. It has to happen ongoing every day. Now, doesn't mean you stop working and you just sit in your lounge room and hum. That's what I'm talking about. But how much time do we spend doing things that don't fill us or are substitutes for things that we think are filling us but in fact are leaving us even more empty? The second advent, which is Jesus' return, is going to be the ultimate source of joy for all of us. For those who are following Jesus, we have something even greater to look forward to, which is a joy that we can carry also. So this Christmas, my prayer, my encouragement to you is embrace the joy of Jesus. Rejoice in the fact that he came. Because of the fact he came, we can have salvation. Because he came and then left and sent his Spirit, we can have him with us ongoing, all day, every day, wherever we go. Because of his coming, we have a joy of looking forward to his return, where we will spend eternity with him. And that will be even a greater level of fullness of joy, because there'll be no pain or suffering or crying or death or hurt. But my big encouragement to you is, walk around this Christmas with your vessel full of the right stuff. Because in doing that, you will be different. And it's great that most of us know Jesus. But my heart is that there's millions of people outside that door that don't know Jesus. And I think the days of walking up and down the street with a big placard are well and truly gone. I think we need to understand that there are certain things that we carry that, if we really carry them, shine so bright in a world that is so dark. One of them is joy. And the more people in this room, the more people who are following Jesus who understand what it is to be full of the joy of the Holy Spirit and know that that is their strength, the more people are going to start asking questions, why are you like that? And my heart is, next Christmas, we have double the amount of people here, and half of them say, you know what, this year, last gone, I was talking to somebody at work, or somebody took me to a coffee, or I was noticing that guy at soccer, or whatever it is. But let's just not go through the routine and keep it all for us, because it's not for us, it's for them. We're going to take a moment, and we don't often do this, but I just was talking with the team during the weekend. I trust the Holy Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, and that he has a deep desire to meet people wherever they're at. I also know that the Holy Spirit speaks in lots of ways. So this morning we're going to play, and I say we because I'm going to join the band in a minute, and we're going to prophesy over you through music. And I'm going to ask you to stand up. You can do that now, everyone. You can stand up. And for the next 5 or 6 minutes as we play, I'm going to ask you to open your hearts, open your hands, and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let his presence and the oil of joy do what that water did to the ping pong balls and get the stuff out. Doesn't mean it goes away. Doesn't mean you should ignore things that are happening in your life, but just don't let them define you. Don't let them fill you.